We're doing the book of Mishlei, and the book of Mishlei was written by Shlomo Melech. We're going to start again from the beginning. Shlomo was David's son from Bathsheba. David married a woman where there were questions revolving that marriage. She was a little girl. She was very young when they got married. And initially, their relationship was improper, and she lost her first child that she had with David. And then, when David wanted her to remain his wife, she refused. She said, God obviously does not approve of this union. I lost my first child. I'm not about to marry you. And we will learn these details, Be'ezrat Hashem, when we learn the book of Shmuel. David said to her, no. In the past it was improper, but now God does approve of it. Not only that, but the son I will have from you will be the next king. And David promised her that. And then she had a son. They named him Shlomo, peace, his peace. And God named him Yedidya. God sent Natan HaNavi to name him God's friend, Yedidya. When Shlomo was 12 years old, David was a very old man, and David had become ill, and he was in seclusion. And David's eldest son at the time, Adoniah, the son of Haggit, began a rebellion to take the throne. He didn't call it a rebellion. He said, I'm the rightful heir to the throne. And he took some important politicians, the chief of staff, he took a few important people in David's among David's people, and together they made a party appointing him as king. Bathsheba approached David and said, you promised me that Shlomo is going to be king, and now Adoniah was just appointed king today. They're having a feast. And David says, is that so? Well, we're going to take care of that right now. He calls Nathan the prophet, who had been there also to fill David in on it, and his other top politicians, and says, all of you together, lead a procession with David riding on my horse, my mule, go down to the Shiloach, and appoint Shlomo as king, crown him, make a huge feast, invite all of Israel, and he is taking the throne after me, anoint him as king in my place. They do that. And of course, when Adoniah hears that, he runs. So Shlomo is appointed king in David's lifetime, when he is a 12-year-old boy, not even bar mitzvah yet. And all of Israel bless him, and his kingdom is really a powerful and peaceful kingdom. At one point, Shlomo goes to Givon to bring a sacrifice, which was, Givon was the central location where they used to have a central, a bama, a place of sacrifice to God. At that time, they hadn't yet built the temple. Shlomo will build the temple, but they hadn't yet. And God appears to him in a dream. And God asks him, what do you want? Shlomo is a young child. He just became king. Shlomo says, God, I want nothing more than the capacity to be a good king for the people, to judge them correctly, to lead them wisely. Give me wisdom so that I will be able to do what's right for your people. And God says, being that you didn't ask to conquer your enemies, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for things, material things, you asked to be a good king for the people, you asked for wisdom, I'll grant you the wisdom, and I will grant you everything else that you didn't even ask for that comes together with wisdom. And so Shlomo is granted exceptional wisdom. He awakens in the morning, and suddenly he could understand the birds chirping, he can understand the cats meowing. He's granted tremendous wisdom. And Shlomo is recognized for his brilliance. Wherever he goes, there are flocks of people waiting to hear what he has to say. And that's why he's called Koheles. Koheles literally comes from the word Kahal. Because wherever he went, there was a gathering of people always waiting to hear what he had to say. So that's why he was never walking alone. Whenever he was gone, you know, when Rav Mordechai Eliyahu walks, there's always a group of people around him waiting to hear what he has to say. So Koheles, Shlomo was also known as Koheles. And there are many midrashim and different stories illustrating Shlomo's wisdom. Shlomo was granted this wisdom in a dream where God spoke to him. Was Shlomo a prophet? That's a machloket. because all of Shlomo's works appear in Ketubim, in writings. According to some of the Rishonim, everything that's in Ketubim is things that were said with Ruach HaKodesh and not with Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh is that God is with a person, but God doesn't tell him a specific thought. It's not that God gives him a vision of prophecy, but that he is on a level that God is with him, and so certain things that he says, we say, are of godly nature, because God is with him. But it's not that God told him these words specifically to say. All of Shlomo's works appear in Ketuvim. Nothing he said appears in Nevi'im. Which is why the Me'iri and others say that Shlomo, with all his wisdom, attained Ruach HaKodesh, but he never attained Nevuah. Shlomo left us many, many works. Some of those works entered the Tanakh. Many of those works were lost. The works that did not enter Tanakh, many of the other works, he wrote many Proverbs, maybe 3,000 times the book of Proverbs. But we don't have those. What we do have is the book of Mishlei. And when we reach the end of Mishlei, we'll see that there's a section of Mishlei that was added. That the rabbis of a later generation took all his proverbs and they said, this too fits into Mishlei, this was also said. These proverbs were also said with Ruach HaKodesh. The book of Mishlei teaches us on many levels. It teaches us practical advice, teaches us how to do good business deals, teaches us how to be a good person. And it really teaches us also the multiple levels of the Torah are seen most poignantly in Mishlei, because Mishlei is all about duality. He says a proverb, he says one thing, and he means another thing. Mishlei is brilliant in that Shlomo will tell us in the beginning, Mishlei on many levels has messages, and even the simplest level, let's say you don't know what's behind the story. Take the simple story, take the simple words at face value, they too have meaning and have worth. When we enter the book of Mishlei, we have to bear in mind what Maimonides writes in the beginning of the Guide to the Perplexed. The Rambam writes that when we speak about a proverb, we have to know that there are proverbs where every detail refers to a different point. And then there are proverbs where we tell a long story, and really the story is coming to give one message. The details are irrelevant. The whole story has one message that we're supposed to take away from it. As we read through Mishlei, the beginning, the first six verses are really introductory. The first six verses explain the value of the book and the goal of the book. And after the first six verses, so we start reading the first 12 to 15 chapters, you have messages that are more long-winded. After you reach about chapter 15, every verse has its own message. That's why last time we started learning Mishlei, the guys voted we begin with chapter 15, somewhere around there, because they wanted to walk away with a message from each verse. It was voted last semester that we start Mishlei from the beginning, and our goal is to try and finish half a chapter each Thursday night that we learn. Every other week we do half a chapter. That's been the pace we've been going at. We'll try. Bezrat Hashem. So let's begin. Previously, the guys had requested that I read Mishlei with the tune. And I see that guys are interested in that this year as well. It helps. And if you want, you could go online. I've posted a lot of EO of Mishlei and Tehillim with the laning, with the trap. There are very few people that know this. It took me 10 years to find someone who could teach me the trap for Mishlei. EO of Mishlei and Tehillim have their own trap. EO of Mishlei and Tehillim are the acronym EMET. EO of Mishlei Tehillim, EMET. And the trap, the tune for the reading of EO of Mishlei and Tehillim are called Ta'amei EMET. And that's a tradition that's been lost from most communities. The Chalabi community still has a tradition how to read EO of Mishlei and Tehillim. And recently someone told me that other Sephardi communities also have a tradition. And when he read it to me, it was very similar to the Chalabi tradition. So there is a Sephardi tradition on how to read these psukim, which is the way I'll be reading it. Yeah.
What community was the first one you
read? Chalabi.
What is that?
Chalab, I think, is in Syria. It's a city in Syria. Okay, so let's begin. We're doing Mishlei, and we're starting from the beginning. Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. The following are the proverbs that Shlomo, the son of David, taught. Shlomo, the son of David, who was king in Israel. And the idea of saying things in the form of proverbs, our sages said, was that the Torah is sometimes understood easily, and sometimes it's like taking something out of a well. So you need to attach one string to another string to another string till you could dip down the pitcher into the well to draw out the water. Chazal said, Shlomo with his mishalim put together mashal after mashal after mashal so that we could draw the water out of the well. He used the mishalim as a way of getting the thought across, as a way of elucidating concepts which are otherwise difficult to attain. That's why the whole book is called Mishlei Shlomo, the Proverbs of Shlomo. Lada'at chokhma u'musar lehavin imrei vina. He said these proverbs so that people would know chokhma. Chokhma is the wisdom. It's the way that the righteous function. It is about being truthful. It's about being fair. And in this work of Mishlei, we will learn how to be just and fair people, which is called being a chacham, a wise person. When we speak about chokhmah, we're talking about acting the way the Torah wants in the positive sense. Musar comes from the word lehasir, to remove. Through this work, we will learn musar, how to steer ourselves away from wicked behavior. And we need both. It's not enough that a person says, I won't do bad things. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a positive person. A person has to know both chokhmah, what's the positive, what's the good way to behave, and musar, what to distance oneself from the evil ways that a person would lead his life. And it's interesting, most people that come to Machon Meir, I would say all, but I don't know everyone that comes to Machon Meir. So I know a lot of the people that come to Machon Meir, and I think that in general, when people come to Machon Meir, there are people who want to be good people. People don't end up in Machon Meir for nothing. Look around you, it's people who want to be good people. But usually people have found that as much as they want to be a good person, they don't know exactly how. And when you come and you approach the Torah, so part of what the Torah teaches us is what's really good. There are many moral questions where a person is going to be torn if left to his own logic. We were given a gift. Shlomo HaMelech says in this work, one of the things we're going to learn is chokhmah, the wisdom of choosing what's right, being good people, umusar, and turning away from what's wrong. The truth is that we have to remember that it's not only about intellect. It's not only about understanding, it's also about self-control. Because being a good person involves not only knowing what's right, but also doing what's right. And that's another challenge. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech describes first Lada'at in this pasuk, to know what's right. And in the next pasuk he's going to describe Lakachat, to take as a way of life. The Musar Haskel, Tzedek U'Mishpat, etc. To take as a way of life, the correct way of leading life. Those are two stages. You can learn the theory, and then it takes a lifetime to continue learning and to implement. Lehavin is to understand to the end. Meaning, sometimes you can understand the concept on the surface, but not to its depths. Shlomo HaMelech said, through these proverbs, I will teach people to understand completely imrei vina, deep things, things that people don't get on their own. Lakachat musar haskel, tzedek u'mishpat u'meisharim, so that people will take for themselves musar and haskel. They'll accept to really turn away from doing things that are wrong. After they've learned it, the book is supposed to help a person move forward to accepting to perform it, to stop doing that which is wrong. That includes lashon hara. When a person says something he shouldn't be saying, he knows he shouldn't be saying it. But knowing it and doing it are two different things. So that's an easy example. And then there's Musar Haskel. What's Haskel? There are things that our own intellect tells us is wrong. A guy's going to lie. A guy's going to cheat on his taxes. He knows it's wrong. There are a lot of things that we know are wrong from our own Haskel, from our own intellect, and we don't bother listening to our conscience. We quiet the conscience. Now, let me continue. Let me go on with it. So part of what the book is supposed to develop within us is the lakachat musar haskel, to listen to that conscience within us, to take the guidance that our intellect tells us to do what's right, tzedek, that's to go beyond the call of duty to help others, umishpat, and to go to the line of justice. Sometimes a person has to go with what's fair is fair and what's not is not. What I owe you, I'll give you. What I don't, I won't. And sometimes a person is expected to go beyond that. So Shlomo HaMelech is going to teach us that balance, to know to balance tzedek and mishpat, umeisharim, and to be honest and straight people. All this, these we said, the first six verses are introductory. He's telling us what we will gain from this book. Pasuk Dalet, latet liftayim oma lenar dat umzima. Shlomo HaMelech says, the first stage is you learn so that you yourself can perform. The next stage is that you learn so that you can teach others. So Shlomo HaMelech says, when you'll have all of this, you will be able to give others. Latet liftayim. You'll be able to give those that don't know, oma, cunning. Peti is someone that he'll believe anything he hears. So one of the things we're supposed to learn from Mishlei is to have cunning, not to believe everything we hear. When they come and sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, you should have questions about it. Show me the deed, right? So every day there are people falling prey to all kinds of scams. Go online. There's this deal called, what's it called? Google. They called it Google, I don't remember, Google Easy Money or Google. They gave it this name, and people are told all you have to do is pay $1 and they'll send you home the guide to how you could work with Google to advertise different sites, and you learn quickly how to make money and they'll pay you for it. Okay, sounds pretty good. The only problem is that when you pay them the dollar and you give them your credit card information to pay the dollar, they suddenly charge you a whole lot more, and it's in the fine print. Now, you could try to sue them, but you could run after them for a very long time because they've worked out their fine print so that they could charge a lot of money, and they're not yet being taken to task. I don't know of anyone that made any money through them, but could be there are. But if you go online, you'll see a lot of people who paid because they saw the name Google. Mm-hmm. So they figured it's something legitimate.
Google hasn't sued them yet.
Last I know, they hadn't. But part of what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us in Mishlei is to have cunning. Torah is supposed to teach us to be sharp businessmen. We shouldn't fall prey to scams. Latet liftayim, to give those that do not have cunning, that are gullible, that believe anything, to give them olma, to give them the cunning. And we're supposed to grow so much from this work that we will be able to give that unto others. Part of the cunning that's necessary is to know what to say and what not to say. Like Shlomo is going to tell us, don't talk to a person who won't listen. The halacha says that just like you have a mitzvah to tell someone something he'll listen to you about, so too there's a mitzvah to be quiet and not to say something they won't listen to you. You see a guy eating pork on Yom Kippur. If you know he's not going to listen, then you have a mitzvah not to say anything. Kishem shemitzvah lomar davar hanishma, just like there's a mitzvah to say something that will be listened to, so too there's a mitzvah to say that which will not be listened to. And
there is a mitzvah to rebuke.
So about that mitzvah, Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Yevamos, that mitzvah is provided that you know the guy will listen. But if you know he won't listen, then you can't rebuke. We discussed that practically we never rebuke nowadays.
Yeah.
But in those days,
we know how to rebuke because pork and it's not after pork.
Nope. There are a lot of rules about how to rebuke. We don't know them.
I know.
But part of what we're going to learn from Shlomo is to have the understanding how to teach others. Latet liftayim, when we want to give others, those who are gullible, oma, the cunning, Shlomo is going to teach us how to teach that as well. Should we go into details? I guess we'll go into details. The problem is that the commentaries here already give away a lot of what we'll learn later. We'll go into a little bit of detail. Shlomo Melech is going to teach us, if you see a fool, don't bother rebuking him. And the idea is that if a guy is stuck to his ways, he's leading a certain lifestyle, and the lifestyle he's leading is that he spends his days running after his desires. That's the lifestyle he's leading. So those things become second nature to him. That's the lifestyle he leads. He finds himself in the bar every night. He finds himself doing improper things every night. So Shlomo HaMelech is going to tell us that a person can reach a point where don't bother telling him what he's doing is wrong. Not because of the first reason we said, because he won't listen, because he's not even hearing you. That we're going to learn as we go on. If someone is doing what's right, but happens that he errs, or there's something he's weak on, so there can be instances where it's proper to tell him something. He shouldn't go down the slope. He shouldn't find himself making that a habit. There, Shlomo's going to teach us latet, how to give over, liftayim olma. How do we give over? You talk to someone who you think there's potential he will listen. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Lenav, I will teach you how to give the lad dat umzima." Why does he speak about teaching the lad? Because the lad is the one that's rebellious against you. He's the most difficult to talk to, the teenage years. So the lad, on the other hand, is still in a situation where he is bound to the home. He's not making his own money. So that's the last opportunity you have to say something. So at that point, the person shouldn't give up. He just has to be smart in knowing what to say and how to say. Sometimes parents say, he's a teenager, what can I do? It's true, he's a teenager and you're limited in what you could do. But that's why we need a book like Mishle to teach us what to say and when to say and how to say. So that specifically now, when we have our last chance to get our point across, we'll be able to get our point across. Shlomo is going to tell us, "Ivelet kshura belevna." In the heart of a lad, the improper things are tied to his heart. Every minute he's thinking about something else, which is going to make your hair stand on end. So you got to figure out how to help him get out of it. Yishma chacham v'yosef lekach. A wise person will hear my proverbs, Shlomo says, and continue learning. This is the starting point. This isn't where it all ends. We always tell the guys that here at Machon Meir. Machon Meir is where you start, it's not where you end. People very often come to Israel, they say, this is my year in Israel, I'm going to get whatever Torah I can, and then after that, on with life. Great idea, get whatever you can, but on with life and keep getting whatever you can. Your learning only begins here, it doesn't end here. The same thing with the Gerim. I always say, whenever we have a Gerim party, I always tell the guys, you just started. The Gerim is the starting line, it's not the finish line. Very often people feel like, I made it, I was tested, the Bezin says I'm okay, I did my gear, I'm Jewish, now I'm okay. Quite the contrary. What the Bezin said is now you could start learning. This is where you begin. Anyone, and this is the biggest challenge that Geirim have after the gear. The biggest challenge is to keep going, because people feel like, I made it, I finished. One of the reasons we don't have tests at Machon Meir is so that people should never feel like they finished. You never finished, it's not true. Continuing along a path. And Machon Meir is a place to continue along the path. Torah is not something you finish. You finish a section, you make a siyum. And when you make a siyum, you start right away the next one. We finished the Torah and Simchas Torah the same day we started Bereishis. Because we're always continuing. Shlomo HaMelech says, even my work, as much as I'm telling you you'll get of the work, Shlomo concludes his introduction with saying, Yishma Chacham, a wise person will hear this, v'yosef lekach, and he'll be able to continue growing beyond this. You're supposed to continue learning. I'm encouraging you, this book is the starting point, Shlomo says. V'navon tachbulot ikne. And a person who has understanding will be able to figure out even more. He'll have better plans and better ideas that will stem from this book. But this book is the starting point. להבין משל ומליצה. I want you to understand both the idea behind the proverb and the simple understanding in the proverb. Shlomo HaMelech says they both have value. The mashal and the melitza. Mashal is the proverb, the idea behind the message, and melitza is the simple understanding, what was said. Divrei chachamim v'chidotam. The words of our sages and the things that our sages said that were like riddles. Go figure out what they were saying. You want to figure it out? I'm going to give you the tools in Mishlei, Shlomo says. And here there are fascinating commentaries as to what Shlomo Melech was alluding to. What riddles did our sages tell us? The Malbim, for example, says, you read the story of Bereshis, what we read last week, and you read it simply, and you think Adam and Eve were walking in this garden, and there was this fruit, and they ate it, and then they realized they were naked, and then God came and they hid. No, you don't understand. The whole story has a deeper meaning. It cannot be understood literally. It didn't happen the way you think it happened. So what does it mean? There wasn't Adam and there wasn't Eve. That's not an allegory, right? But was the Garden of Eden a physical place or a spiritual place? Was the sin a physical thing or a spiritual thing? It's not the way we understand. The Malbim says that's all an allegory. There was one man and one woman, and something did happen there that was a sin. But was it to be understood literally? No, the Malbim says. One of the things you're supposed to learn from Mishlei is that's an allegory. So that's a very dangerous sentence, right? We'll end with that. We got to go daven. We pick up at 8:30, but remember, if you'll be here early, I'll be able to show those of you who are here what a circumcision is all about. We're getting a baby here.
This is at 3:30?
I don't know when that comes. Somewhere between 8 and 8:30. You can bring your supper, finish eating here. That's nice place. Or finish eating quick and come up. I can't detain them. They got to go home. They have a bris tomorrow morning. Okay, our vit is now.
Sure enough.
Where? Upstairs, the Bet Midrash. Oh.